Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is what happens when I take a couple days off. I forget the password that I just changed for my Twitter account before I took a mini break. And I barely used social media while I was away. And when I did, I used it on my phone. And so it just stays logged in. And now I can't remember my password. And that's actually the truth. It's not just me making an excuse for not being able to read your tweets. So I really don't want to sit and stare at my phone the entire time that we're on the show. And I can't talk and look at my phone at the same time effectively anyway. So I'm going to have to change my password for Twitter. That'll be the first order of the hump show. But then once I do, I promise I will be no less distracted. I hope that you enjoyed the last two nights on the show. I did not listen. In fact, there are times when I completely forget the whole, hey, I would be up right now, or I'd be on my way to work, or yada, yada, yada. So when I'm out, especially when I flip my schedule and I say take a beach day like I did on Sunday, or I have the plumber come like I did on Monday, or I've got phone calls, or I've got whatever else scheduled during the daytime, it's really nice to be in bed by midnight or 12:30 my time. And so I didn't think of you much, a little, but not enough that I was worried that you might not survive without me. I'm pretty sure you're resilient. We've learned to survive a lot over the course of the last 7 months. Man alive, do you know it's getting close to the end of July? I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but yowzers. And here we are, days away from the return of Major League Baseball and the start of the WNBA season, which was postponed, of course, because everything was postponed in the spring and the summer. But the WNBA is sequestered 22 regular season games among the 12 teams. They'll each play 22 regular season games. They're all at a single site in Bradenton, Florida. I'm sure you've heard of the IMG Academy if you're a longtime sports fan. It's a pretty well-known academy for typically younger kind of prodigy athletes in a variety of sports where they can go and they can learn and get an education, but they can also get focused teaching and training. So that's the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. And that's where the WNBA will tip off on Saturday. And then days after that, we've got the NBA with its mini blitz to finish out the regular season, followed by the playoffs, and then, of course, the NHL will begin with its Stanley Cup postseason on August 1st. So between now and the beginning of August, in fact, the last time I talked to you, what did I say? Give me 15 days. Just give me 15 days, and we'll be there. Well, now, because of the mini, it wasn't really a vacation, but the long weekend, the mini time off that I took, mini break, I don't really like mini things, but some of them are cute, but not a mini break. It was actually kind of weird. So the mini break that I took brought us a lot closer. And I did pay attention to sports while I was gone. Fascinated by seeing Major League Baseball games on TV, even though they were summer camp games. And that's what we're watching right now. It's cool to see them on TV and to try to adjust to, we can't really call it the quiet, because they're pumping in this crowd noise that comes from MLB The Show or the video games. And I think they're just fooling us. They're fooling around, and they're just messing with us, because the audio seems to come in at the worst possible times. Have you guys noticed that? There'll be a ground out, and there's a like crazy in the background, or a pop out, or a foul pitch, something like that, and yet you still hear people going crazy. So I feel like they need to cool their jets, because when something really happens, then we're not going to be paying any attention to the crowd noise. Or even when guys are introduced and there's this pumped in noise, it's odd. But here we are on July 21st, the night of July 21st, and we're talking about 2 days. In fact, this time in 48 hours, we will have two Major League Baseball games in the books. And then moving forward, two more days, WNBA will tip off. Of course, we still have golf. We've got NASCAR. We've got UFC. And then think ahead. 8 more days. And we've got the NBA returning on Thursday, July 30th, with the NHL bringing up the rear. The caboose, at least in this equation of the next few days. Of course, NFL training camps are kind of underway. We can't really call them training camps at this point. It's more the intake testing, but it's happening. It is all happening. So I'm really interested in hearing from those of you doom and gloomers who said that sports were not going to return in 2020. Are you mad that you were wrong? Are you glad that you were wrong? Are you still holding out hope that everything's going to be canceled so you can be right? I don't know. I mean, where are those people who said that this was not going to work, that there weren't going to be any team sports? Now, I'm not telling you they're going to go all the way through, because I can't possibly know that. There's no way for me to predict what happens with the virus, what happens in our nation in terms of the numbers in some of the areas where these teams play, what happens with the state and local mandates that do govern, what happens in their areas. Although right now, I promise you, these states and municipalities desperately want these sports to operate, because it's a source of revenue. So they'll do anything they can to keep sports operating, even if everything else is shut down. So for instance, in New York City, and actually in the state of New York, there are places where indoor dining is still not allowed. In fact, that's the case in New Jersey where I live. No indoor dining, none whatsoever. Not limited capacity, zilch, nada. You can sit outside on the concrete and you can roast in what has been a heat wave over the last few days. But that doesn't appeal to me at all. But there's no indoor dining, not even one table. So there are parts of the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, part of Connecticut, where there are a bunch of teams that will be operating and using their facilities, but the greater population isn't back to its quote unquote normal summer routine or summer habits. So these governors and local leaders desperately want to have the sports operate because they do bring in money. You've got hotels that are being used in some cases or other types of lodging. You've got restaurants or other dining establishments that are providing food. You've got local people who are cleaning the places where these athletes and the team officials are staying. You've got all kinds of, well, and not to mention simple things like grocery stores and gas stations. They all get more business too. And so regardless of what's happening with the virus numbers, unless it becomes completely inconsiderate or there's a mass outbreak in a particular sport, right now they're full speed ahead because they are a top priority. It may not seem like it to you because it's only entertainment to you. But they're full speed ahead because of what they mean for the economy and because of what they mean for the local municipalities and the regional areas. And I'm glad. I'm so glad, not just for my job. The job is here regardless of whether or not we have football, although I can't even imagine a fall with no football. But regardless of whether or not these sports are operating and playing games, I'm still here. I get paid the same. I wish I got a raise when all the sports return, but that's not actually the case. Although at least our company's not asking us to take another pay cut. Woo! That's great news. That was an email worth celebrating. So for those of you who were so negative Nelly, negative Nancy, negative, what's a good N boy name? Norm? Negative Norm. What's another good boy N name?
Nathan
is a good one. Nincompoop. For those of you who were negative nincompoops, are you willing to admit that you were wrong? Wrong you were. I don't know what happens in the future, but I do know we're about to get team sports up and running in a big way, and I'm really excited about it. I hope that you are begrudgingly excited about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for your tweets that I can't actually read. Thanks for your Facebook post. If you missed it, I did put a photo up from the morning at the beach. Oh my goodness, it was a really cool photo. May I tell you a secret? I couldn't see the photo. It was so bright that I just pointed the phone, focused by hitting the middle of the screen and then just clicked a couple of times. And then I posted the photo, but I couldn't actually see it. So it could have been terrible. There could have been a fingerprint right in the middle of it. As it turned out, it was actually a photo of the sunbeam. I caught this really cool angle of the sunbeam shining down because it was pretty early in the morning. It was just after 8 o'clock. And it was gorgeous shining off the water. My mom said, "What a strange and beautiful photo." And again, I had no idea what she meant until I got in the car much later on. But if you didn't see the photo, it's really pretty. Just had a chance to do a day trip at the beach. It was packed. I mean, I wouldn't say wall-to-wall bodies because people were doing their best to try to stay somewhat distanced in terms of where they placed their towels. There were inconsiderate peeps. And so there were times where my friend and I, we moved our chairs and our huge cooler a few feet to the right or a few feet forward just to kind of protect our little area. And there were people that put out these ginormous blankets times two and huge umbrellas just to kind of keep people away. So there were people you could tell that were more concerned. The issue is, and you know what it's like at the beach or at a pool, you don't just stay on your towel. You don't stay on your area. You go, you get in the water, or you kind of weave your way around towels. Maybe you're going to the bathroom. Maybe you're going to the concession stand. In this particular case, there was no concession stand. But, Dave, people were ordering food and having it delivered to the front gate of this particular beach that I went to. Because the guy next to us, he and his son, they took off. They walked out to the front. I mean, I just assumed they were using the bathroom. He comes back with a bag of Chipotle. So, it was like in a brown paper bag with like the receipt stapled to the front of it. People were having their food delivered to the front gate and walking out and getting it. It's ingenious.
Why not?
I mean, maybe you could just bring food. I don't know.
I mean, that would have been smarter.
Anyway, so the issue, as I say, is you don't just sit on your towel and not move. People are running around. Kids are building things in the sand. And because it was nearly 100 degrees on Sunday, it was a really nice breeze, thankfully, but it was nearly 100 degrees and people were in the water most of the time. I actually didn't go swimming, but I did stand in the surf and stand, I would say, probably half of the day or half of the time that I was there. I was standing in the water. And you try to create space, but when you've got that many thousands of people that are flocking to the beach, because most people are not traveling, and so what do they do on a hot day? They go to the pool, they go to the beach. It's really difficult to keep your distance. I saw maybe 5 people wearing masks. Again, I feel like wearing a mask on a 100-degree day probably creates its own issues, but there were a few people wearing masks. Most part, I think people were just keeping their fingers crossed and hoping that nobody would pass them the virus. But it was a great day to be at the beach. I was thankful for my second social outing, if you could call the beach social. My second social activity since the first week in March. I felt like I was an inmate released from my asylum. It was like a vacation, even though it was just a day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, you can find the photo I put up, sight unseen, really, on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I also want to tell you, I know I haven't responded to many of the tweets or the Facebook messages, but I did appreciate those of you who took the time to either respond to my comments on the show last week, so Thursday night, Friday morning, our last show of last week, in the wake of the Redskins allegations and their workplace culture and the sexual harassment that was alleged by 15 women. I not only talked about it extensively on the show, and many of you wrote to me to thank me or to tell you why it mattered to you, but I also repurposed a blog post that I had written a few years ago, and it detailed my situation in my career. And I, you know, gave specifics about some of the harassment that I experienced. And so I did post that on Friday morning when I got home from work, and many of you, hundreds of you, not only read it, but wrote to me. And I apologize that I cannot respond to all of them. The point was to take a break from work, not to spend my whole 4 days doing work. Anyway, so I just want to say thank you. Now, some of you have ideas about how things should go and how I should have done things differently. And maybe you're right, but there's no way to go back and do things differently now. So I just wanted to say thank you. If you haven't read that blog post, it's on my Twitter. It's on our Facebook page, but it's also the link is pinned on my profile page. So you can easily find it there. Now, we've got a lot of news filtering in from the NFL. We've got the latest on the negotiations between the owners and the Players Association. And so we're going to get right into that with Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. Also, there is still this whole process of the intake testing. And there's right now numbers trickling in. You know, 59 players tested positive in the first round. And so we're going to see more and more of those numbers as the NFL rookies report and as they go through the first round of testing. And we're going to try to get as much of the detail as we possibly can from John McClain in Houston. He will join us coming up at the top of next hour, and we'll be able to pick his brain a little bit. At least the two sides agreed on this. There will be no preseason games. Are you rejoicing? There will be no preseason games in 2020. I have mixed feelings about it, and I'll tell you why. But that we know for sure. The NFL has, I'm using air quotations, conceded that there will be no, it's like their big give, right? Their big compromise. Okay, fine. We'll go without preseason games. But that's not happening in 2020. So we will not see these guys on the field other than whatever video footage we might get from training camps, the rare occasions where they actually pull on pads and hit somebody. We will not see these guys in pads. They will not line up against athletes from other teams until the season kicks off in mid-September. So we still have quite a ways to go, at least 6 weeks. That's a long time. But maybe there's a conditioning issue. Maybe it's better for them to stick to their own people. I wonder how that's going to affect the football. But also I wonder about the injury component. So we'll talk about that. I'd love to hear from you. How do you feel about no NFL preseason games? And if you were doom and gloomers, how do you feel about sports nearly invading your personal territory yet again?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Well, that's cool. It won't sound like that in 2020, though. They can't fake that cool crowd noise. Bob Uecker on the Milwaukee... Oh, it wasn't. It was Jeff... That's right. I'm sorry. It was Jeff Levering. I wanted it to be Bob Uecker. Why can't we use Bob Uecker, Dave? What's wrong with you?
A lot.
That's my fault, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. That's what I should have stuck to. Eureka, I'm in. I got into Twitter again. Woo! I guess that's worth celebrating. I guess. We'll see. We'll see what kind of questions you come up with. So send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And then if you want to send me your reaction to what we've seen so far with Major League Baseball, what we have heard so far about the NFL preseason, I am all eyeballs now. I got you, peeps. I got you. 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. So here's what we know. There will be no preseason games this year in the NFL. It's not a completely foreign concept. I mean, there have been work stoppages in the past, and so we know that there have been times when the preseason was less of a priority. Now, in recent years, the NFL owners forced four preseason games on us. Why? Because of the TV revenue that it would bring in. Believe it or not, people watch preseason games. They don't necessarily want to pay for the ticket prices. And a lot of people, especially season ticket holders, complain because they don't want to have to pay for what they consider to be a subpar product on the field. And I'm with you. Here's how I approach the preseason. I watch the first quarter. I get very excited. And then after that, my mind wanders, and so do I. I start walking through the house, or if I'm still sitting in front of the TV, I'm working on my remote changing skills. Skills. I got skills. I don't really share the remote, if that was one of your questions. And so the NFL preseason games are no more, and the league is acting like this is a concession. What are the concerns, though? Because clearly there are some concerns about not having any preseason games. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports HQ.
In talking to some GMs, some guys are concerned now without a preseason game that you might make a mistake or two. And by that, they mean at the end of the roster. And that's okay because you're going to have extra practice squad numbers. If that mistake is made, you cut a guy, somebody will pick him up. You can go get him off somebody else's practice squad. I think there's going to be a mechanism to kind of correct the mistake. Other guys I talk to say, hey, look, we're prepared. We're ready for this. We know our roster. We've done our work. We've done our due diligence. And if you did the work and you understand who's on your team, you're probably not going to make mistakes. So there's two sides to it. I'm a big believer they don't need the preseason at all. So move on and go play football in September.
Pete Prisco on CBS Sports HQ. So he's looking at the concerns from the perspective of general managers who are thinking, okay, at the end of their roster, and with pared down rosters, every roster decision becomes even more important. So he's giving you the perspective of guys who are making the roster decisions, the guys who are deciding about those last few athletes that they will keep on their roster as opposed to put on their practice squads. Now, that is helpful, of course, because of practice squads, but there are always moves that have to be made if you're going to transport a guy, teleport a guy from one practice squad to your roster, or you cut him, he goes somewhere else. It's just there's only so many roster moves that you can make, and so you do want to make sure you've got the best guys when you break camp. Okay, so maybe there's one or two that you misfire on. But the idea of no preseason games at all, I think, is more impactful for the players for a couple of reasons. Number one, there are guys who are not going to get their chance to work out. They're not going to get their opportunity to show what they can do. We already know in minor league baseball, 1,200 different guys lost their jobs, lost their chance at their dreams. Maybe those will come around again, but for the most part, many of them will never have the chance to make it into the majors, into the big leagues after 2020. In the NFL, there are a lot of those guys as well. It's so competitive, and many of the lower level drafted guys, lower level draft picks, many of the guys who were undrafted, I've spoken to agents, they've told me how devastating this is for guys who were hoping to find a camp where they could hook on and then where they could have the opportunity to play their way onto a roster. So there are two issues. Number one, you've got smaller camp rosters. It looks like the number could be 80, which is 10 fewer than what they take on a typical year. And then to not have any preseason games, how do these guys separate themselves? It's really difficult to do that in practice because you're lining up against athletes who already know what's coming. I mean, sure, they may not know the exact call, but these guys, they understand at least what the offense is running, or they understand the defensive schemes. And so you're not catching them by surprise. You don't have a chance to try out against real competition, which means it's harder to evaluate. So there are a lot of victims, shall we say. And honestly, isn't that what it's been like in 2024 greater society? Many of us who've lost our jobs or who aren't getting the opportunities that we thought we might in 2020. So it's disappointing all around. If you think about it, not from a football standpoint, but from a business standpoint and from the opportunity, an open door, we can all identify and relate with having an open door and having an opportunity handed to us. Or also having one taken away through no fault of our own. So that part is concerning for sure. We'll get into some of the economic issues coming up with Ian Rappaport. But just a little bit more with Pete Prisco, again, on CBS Sports HQ, looking at the impact of not having any preseason games, no opportunity to ramp up before the season kicks off.
Getting on-field work much more important than preseason games. For some of the younger quarterbacks, you know, speed of the game, they won't see that until opening day. I understand that. But the speed of the game in the preseason isn't the same as the speed of the game in the regular season. So I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. I remember last summer talking to Philip Rivers. I said, Philip, you know, these preseason games, you don't get a lot of work in them. He said, I had 70 snaps in a practice against, I think it was the Rams, then he got like 10 in a preseason game. So there's more work to be done on the field. So this year, I think it's actually going to help some of those younger players. They're going to get more reps. You're not going to have the day off before a preseason game. You're not going to have the day off after a preseason game. You're going to get more on-field work. Where I do think it will be a problem will be tackling. And we see that, remember 2011 when they had the lockout, they had tackling issues early in the season. We usually see tackling issues early in the season anyways. But I think this year it's going to be worse because you're going to see angles missed and bad tackling and form tackling go out the window because you're not going to tackle during camp. So I think early in the season, and the NFL might like this, we might see a lot of scoring, even more scoring than anticipated.
What's our agreement? We've got a new house rule, zero complaining. When football hits the field, I don't care if they look like peewee football. No complaining, none. How many times over the course of the last few months have we either had to endure people telling us there's going to be no football, or we've just been freaked out about it ourselves, which includes me. I have to keep my mind from going there. A fall with no football, I don't even know how to navigate that thought, forget that actual reality. And so I refuse. I don't care what the football looks like. It just needs to be real football games that count on the field. But let's be honest, it could be relatively putrid football at the beginning, and yet I'm going to cheer just as hard. All right, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. And as I say, the cool photo I took of the beach is up there, even though I think I got lucky because I couldn't see it when I was posting it. It's gorgeous and I'm happy. And it was a good 4-day weekend, except my poor puppers. Penny had a really rough last couple days. Wait until I tell you what this dog mom did for her puppy over the last 2 days. Goodness. Sometimes it's harder to take care of older animals, but I guess I now know that I'll do anything for this doggo. Of course, I already knew that. And there's a picture of Penny up too. She's so purty. That's up on my Twitter and on our Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome Bob Uesler. I haven't spoken to you in a while, Bob. It feels like we've had a lot going on. Are you excited about baseball?
I am excited. I'm very, very curious about how this is going to play out. It has been very unusual to watch these exhibition games the last few nights. But I'm curious, and I actually am now surprising myself by how excited I am getting for opening day. I didn't think I would get excited, but it must just be like reflexive, Amy, because I am excited.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I think just the thought of having games that count again, the thought of being able to sink our teeth into something new. We've regurgitated a lot of the same topics over and over because there isn't anything concrete or hasn't been for so long in the team sports. And so I agree with you. I mean, I was willing to hold out and give them my attitude at least at the beginning, but I don't even care. I don't care. I may not forget, but I will definitely forgive because I'm excited about seeing games again.
I am, and I'm going to try and be more optimistic. I was one of those who, you know, however many months back it was, I didn't think they'd get to this point.
No.
But now, of course, it all becomes can they sustain?
Sure.
And I'm surprised. I saw it was online somewhere. I apologize because it already escapes me where I saw it and who did the polling. But the majority of people don't think baseball is going to make it through a full season. Same for the NBA. And a large majority feel that football has no chance. So generally speaking.
Wait, college football or NFL?
Both.
Well, college. See, there's a big difference. I mean, I might agree with you on the college football, but people who say the NFL isn't going to survive don't know what they're up against with the NFL. I mean, those owners generally don't take no for an answer.
Boy, you are so right. And really, it comes down to that very issue. And I agree. And I'm not necessarily in agreement with those who are really pessimistic about the prospect of football. I know where you're coming from when you talk about the college game, which is really apples and oranges with the professional game. But you have some heavyweight financials involved.
You do. You do. And a lot of brain power. Along with the money that they're willing to throw at the problem, which makes all the difference. I mean, just and then I'll let you get to your update. Just in general, the NBA is throwing $150 million at the bubble. I mean, they're spending $150 million to make this bubble work. And they're going to make more than that, of course, by having the playoffs actually go forward because of the TV revenue. So it's worth it to them to throw as much money as it requires to make it work. For sure.
Amy, that number really does strike home, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. Well, it's good to talk to you again. I look forward to talking some baseball very soon.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Coming up top of the hour, conversation with John McClain, who covers the Houston Texans and the NFL, has done so for the better part of a half century. And it's certainly not forgotten in Houston how the Chiefs were down 24-0 to start the second quarter of a playoff game and still came back to win. What a devastating way to end the playoff run for the Texans. But think about their offseason fallout and then compare that with the offseason for the Astros. Which one had a worse offseason emotionally, socially? Which group of players was more shunned by their peers? I was thinking about Houston sports. I was thinking, wowzers, that's a double whammy. So we'll talk to John McClain again coming up top of the hour. He will join us from Texas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mitch Holtis is the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs Radio Network. If you've got questions for me, ask Amy anything, part of our hump show. You can send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page named after the show. Phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's toll-free, sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We're going to get a little bit into the WNBA tip-off. It's kind of fun to see the AP, so Associated Press, video diary. I don't know if it's, I don't know when it's technically allowed to be called a vlog. Isn't that a video blog? So this kind of feels like a vlog. from number one overall draft pick, Oregon star Sabrina Ionescu. She's doing a video diary from inside the bubble in Bradenton, Florida. So kind of cool to hear from her. And then on the men's side, Anthony Davis of the Lakers seemingly taking it all in stride as we get closer to NBA's restart. And then the NHL will follow just a couple days later. So 9 days, 9 days between now and the beginning of August. And in that time, not only will we have baseball's return, or baseball's, I guess, 2020 debut, but returning after they shut down spring training in March, we'll have the tip-off to the WNBA season, we'll have the return of the NBA in Orlando, and then we'll also have the puck drop on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then training camps in the NFL. And we've already got rookies who are reporting, not so much to get started in terms of the camp activity, but to start the intake testing. And just like the bubble in Orlando, just like every other one of these sports leagues, Major League Baseball as well, the number one priority to start is the testing, is the intake testing, is getting everybody into their home markets. In the case of the NFL, they won't be in a bubble. So getting everyone into their home markets, their playing cities, having them go through the original round of testing and then another round of testing, right? So they have to pass, I think, two tests before they can be allowed at the facilities, before they're allowed to get into the locker rooms and begin any type of conditioning or workouts or any type of drills with other players. So we'll get the details with John when he joins us just after the top of the hour. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The two sides are not yet done negotiating. Ian Rappaport delivered this latest insight on NFL total access, and his goes to more the financial side.
There are still several huge economic issues that are being negotiated between the NFL and the NFLPA. And from what I understand, they basically do not need to have an agreement before the players actually show up for training camp. This deadline to have the economics all figured out is actually much later. The hope would be before the start of the season. So they are far along. There's some optimism as far as a potential agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA. They're in a good place right now. Just does not seem like some of the economics are going to be finally worked out before training camp. The opt-out is a big one. What the date would be, that is a big one. And then here's another thing that is in the NFL's proposal. If a player opts out for health reasons, he would not be allowed to renegotiate his contract. The reason why that's interesting is because you can't just hold out slash opt out. That cannot be the same thing. That's an important one. They're still trying to figure out how to handle the 2021 salary cap, when to take the hit given the shortfall in revenue all at once or maybe spread out over several years, and then what to do with fully guaranteed salaries if for some horrendous reason the season gets shortened in the middle. How do you pay those players? All those issues still being worked out.
Really, really interesting. And I hadn't thought about it, but there could, of course, be players who choose the opt-out option because they don't like their contract. And so it's an opt-out, but they're using it as a holdout. And so it's a key stipulation in this agreement that the NFL owners are not allowing a renegotiation of a contract for players who choose to opt out. And I'm wondering, at this particular point, there's an August 1st deadline. I don't think it's set in stone yet, but that's the date that the NFL would like to use. I'm wondering how many guys have even considered it. How many guys are considering it? Has anyone come forward to say they're going to skip the NFL season? I've heard guys say they will do it if they're forced to wear masks. We heard that from J.J. Watt. And so right now there are a lot of different economic wrinkles. The two sides have got to agree on the finances, but it will not keep them from reporting to camps. We know there will be no preseason games. The league tried to push through one preseason game and then follow that up on Monday and said, okay, fine, we'll give you this. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you were a doom and gloomer, how are you feeling now about team sports returning? All right, so we've got soccer on the field, both men's and women's. They've continued now. I'm really proud of the MLS after how bad it was to start and how awful their intake process was. But we've got MLS and the NWSL, so both men's and women's pro soccer. Certainly NASCAR, golf, and UFC have continued. But now we're about to add in the big four. And I'm wondering if you're still feeling that doom and gloom, all of those people who told me there weren't going to be sports anymore in 2020, or you didn't think there were going to be sports, or there shouldn't be sports, I guess. That's more of an opinion than a prediction. It's good to be back with you again on this Hump Show this Tuesday night. The last couple of days, though, it's good that I was home. It's good that I was not working because my poor puppers. I don't know how many of you have golden retrievers or even shepherds. I have a combination, Australian Shepherd, golden retriever. And both those types of dogs have hip issues later in life. And so I'm not sure what was going on with Penny. Every now and then she'll get a stiff ankle or a stiff shoulder, and I'll give her an anti-inflammatory and usually one or two of those pills and she's back to normal. So Saturday we went to the park early in the morning. It was hot. And then also on Saturday afternoon we walked and it was fine. I started to know that she was a little bit stiff when she got up, and I was out of anti-inflammatories. So by Sunday afternoon, I went to the beach. I came home. By Sunday afternoon, she wouldn't put weight on her foot. In fact, she couldn't get up off the floor by herself. So I was lifting her up. I was essentially supporting her under her belly and walking her out the steps and down into our yard. And she wouldn't take a walk. She just went to the bathroom in our yard, which is fine. But I was pretty nervous until Monday afternoon when I finally got some anti-inflammatories from the vet. I had to call in an emergency prescription. So they were kind enough to rush that through. And thankfully, after three of the anti-inflammatories in the last 36 hours, she's much better. She's back to trotting all around and her normal goofy self. We've got John McClain coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.